Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, everyone. Thank you all for tuning in on this evening. I just want to say this to you all. I thank God for this evening. I thank God for allowing me to have a special guest star. To me, he's a star, a guest speaker on tonight. Our usual youth minister is not able to speak tonight because he had to work. But I tell you, right before the program started, I just began to start choking. It just came out of nowhere because I asked a certain person to do the ministry for the youth on tonight, and he decided to do it, and I told him I would do it with him. But I just want to let you all know that God is real. I don't care what day, what time, what moment, what year it is, God is real. And I want you to know that ending this 2019 season and going into 2020, I want you all to know God is real. So what we're going to do, we're going to pray first, and then I will be introducing our speaker for tonight, well, my co-host for tonight. So let's just go right into prayer. Let's stop, touch, and agree. While we're doing that, while we're praying, I want you to get your Bibles, your paper and your pencil, your pens, pads, little note papers, whatever you need to do. Get it out so we can just have these notes to go back on. And you can also go back into our archives within an hour after the program and listen to it again. Okay, are you ready? Let's go. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity. We thank you for the chance to come before you and ask you to heal us, forgive us, deliver us, set us free, God. Keep us in your loving arms, God. Keep us in your presence, O Lord. God, just keep us close to your heart and your protecting arms. God, keep all harm, evil, danger, and death, all mishaps, away from us, oh God. Whatever the enemy meant for evil, God, let it be for your good. For God, we know that you are the Lord of this world and our God only. No other God before you is there. There is no other God before you. We will serve no other God but you, oh God. We thank you for the chance, God. We thank you for the opportunity to live to see another year. God, we thank you. God, we just ask you to cover, bless, deliver, and comfort all the ones that have lost someone on today, on yesterday, within the last couple of days, hours, moments, minutes, or whatever it is has been. God, we just ask you to comfort them right now, to let them know you are God, you are still God, and that you make no mistakes. For God, let them know that you have a purpose for all these things, God. Whatever you're doing, God, do it, Lord. Whatever you're doing right now, God, in this season, God, I'm asking you, don't forget about me, oh God. I'm standing in the gap for my family. I'm standing in the gap for my friends. I'm standing in the gap, God, for everyone that has come into contact, and even for the ones I don't know. God, I'm asking you to touch the brokenhearted on today, God. I'm asking you, God, to open up the ears for the ones that's listening on tonight, whether it's right now, this 8 o'clock hour, or it's later on tonight. God, I want to just say thank you. Continue to bless Smile 3E, Iron Sharpening Iron Ministries, throughout the rest of this year and the year to come and the years after that. For God, we know that you call this ministry to a purpose, oh God. God, we ask you to keep your loving arms around America, around the universe, oh God. We ask you to just let us, everyone, know that you are still God. You're still on the throne. Lord, we ask you to let us go into the new year praising you, thanking you, worshiping you, giving you all the glory, God. For we know that you didn't have to do it, but you did. God, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Amen. So I want to say to you all, we went into prayer before I introduced myself to you and told you who my co-host was, because the enemy tried to choke me up right before the service started. But I just wanted to give God all of his accolades, all of his praise, because he is first. He's God before in anything and everything. There's nothing before God. So we want to say to you right now, thank you for joining Smile 3, Iron Sharpening Iron Ministry, on Monday night, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm your host, Minister Sylvia Kaiser. My co-host on tonight is my son, Minister Stanley Wright. I thank God for him doing this with me because I asked him if he would do it. And I thank him that he took time out. Y'all know young people, they love to play their games. He could be playing his video games right now. But I thank God that he took time out. He didn't give me a lot of back talk and, Mom, I don't feel like it. He didn't do any of that. Because one thing I do know, he know he's blessed. He know he's been blessed all his life. He know that God has been good for him from the time he was in the oven baking to come forth until now. He know that God has protected him. Just last month, he was in a car accident where a car ran a light when he was at a complete stop and ran into the back of his vehicle, which knocked it up under his front end, up under a SUV that was stopped in front of him. And I thank God that the car didn't blow up, the car didn't catch on fire. He didn't get no problems where his back was knocked out or neck broken or anything like that. I thank God for, as we say, the small things, because we know we thank him for the big things. But I thank God that he was able to walk away. Little bumps and bruises and soreness, but still he was able to walk away. So I'm going to pass the phone to him and let him start to tell you about what God has given him to say, as well as the scriptures that we're going to share with you on tonight.
Thank you so much for allowing me to speak. I would say the thing I want to talk about today really is just, I don't know, on my mind, I want to talk about moving forward. Personally, 2019 has been a tough year and some good moments. With graduating from college, you know, moving around and then having a few different jobs here and there. You know, there's been times when things was looking down and, you know, hard and stuff like that. But luckily, you know, I have my family. I have you guys to remind me who I am, where I came from, and how blessed I am, you know. And so the talks that I have with my mom and my aunt, you know, they remind me, you know, everything happens for a reason, you know, whether it's good or bad. Always give credit to God because everything happens through him. And so, you know, after graduation, you know, I was thinking about what I'm going to do, where I'm going to be and stuff like that. And at the time, I was more worried about where I was or where I was going to be instead of where I was. And, you know, instead of communicating with God and stuff like that, I was just more worried about myself. But like I said, things could have been much worse, you know. Could have easily, you know, went down a further, a darker path. But luckily, I didn't. Like I said, even the times I felt down and sad, I would pray. You know, he would talk to me, he would give me ideas and stuff on how to keep moving forward, and I'm glad that I listened because I don't know where I would be without him, you know, him and his love, his guidance, and then also without my family too. So really just learned, 2019 has been a year where I learned that whether you lose your job, you lose somebody you love, lose your car, your house, or whatever, it's always going to be, you know, a way to recover from what you lost, whether it takes a week, you know, a day, a month, a year, or whatever. There's always a way to recover if you continue to talk to God, you know, believe in him and follow your heart. And so that's what I've been doing. That's what I'm trying to continue to do because I don't want to get in a state where I'm just lazy. I'm content. You know, I don't see a further path where I am. You know, I don't want to do none of that. I just want to keep moving forward with my family. Strengthen my bond with God. You know, there's really no limit to that. You always got to keep strengthening it. So I want to keep doing that. I also want to uplift people along with me. A lot of people in my generation that's going through a lot, whether they have whether they're in their school, whether they have kids, whether they have a job they don't like, whether they don't have a job at all. My generation is, you know, dealing with a lot at such an early age, and that's not a lot of them that have people that can help, or that's not, you know, close with God. So I just want to be able to help people as I'm, you know, moving up in the world, moving up spiritually with God, and, you know, personally, emotionally, physically, and whatnot, financially, if I can. So, because I can't be happy if the people around me aren't happy. I just can't. It don't feel right, you know, because I wouldn't want them to do the same thing for me. So, yeah, I think the biggest lesson this year was just keep moving forward. Whether you have a setback or not, you know, like I said, you can recover from anything if you believe in God. And so, like I said, that's what I'm trying to do. 2020, my main goal for 2020 will be to stay positive, set more goals for myself, and stay true to myself. I don't want to keep setting myself up for failure. I don't want to keep, you know, doubting myself. I don't want to keep, you know, only going for the lesser things in life, whether it's a job or, you know, certain things or whatever. So I want to go for the highest, you know, thing possible. So, like, if it's for a job, I might go for be a manager, if not a CEO, you know, I'm going to just look up there instead of trying to be, you know, a first-level worker or something like that. If I have to start that way, I will work my way up. But like I said, I want to aim high from the beginning, so that's what I'm gonna do. Yeah. So, anything else?
You asked me.
Yeah. Anything else? I'm asking.
Yeah. Well, okay. Let's go here.
Okay.
You know, all the time that when you were a little boy, and I remember one time I was real sick and had a lot of things going on, and I remember at the age, you were about 6, 7, I'll just say between 6 and 8, and you came in the room and you laid hands on me and you began to pray, and you said, "Mom, don't cry. Mom, everything's going to be all right." You said, "God's been so good to us. Don't you remember? Don't you know? God is not gonna leave us. He's not gonna go away. He's not gonna forget about us." Do you remember that?
I do.
And you said, you put your hand, one hand on my shoulder, another hand on my forehead, and you said, "Devil, come out of here. I rebuke you." As a little boy, you did that, and I never forgot about that, because I know the Word of God says, I'm looking at it right now, and Proverbs 22:8. It said, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is older, he will not depart from it." And I'm reading that because one thing I do know is that when you was a kid, what do you remember we used to do?
We would have Bible night. I remember we used to, you know, used to have me read, help me with my reading, but just help me strengthen my bond with God. You know, you would have me grab the Bible and just say, pick out a scripture and read it.
And go to church. And I remember those things. I remember teaching you how to love God, how to respect God, how to tell God what you want. And I remember teaching you how not to be greedy and how not to always say what you want. I want this. I want that. I want this. I taught you. Do you remember when we used to go and with Chief Pastor Jones? Not at the time, she was Sister Jones.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember we used to go down to feed the homeless people?
Yes.
I used to take you, or we would go to a hotel. It was like a house. They rented rooms to these men, and I would take you down there and let you see what a real homeless person was like, or as they say, skid row people, or just how other type of people live. I don't want to say a name because some people chose to live like that. And I remember I would teach you how we would pass out sandwiches and we would serve hot meals and we would just tell them, Jesus love you. Do you remember that?
I do.
I remember just so much. Our church was called No Cross, No Crown before Apostle, when she was an elect lady, God told them to change their name to Founders of Living Water. But it was a No Cross, No Crown. And we had a children's ministry because the church was based on children at first. It was a child's ministry that grew in the adults. And I remember all the time we were taught to train up a child in the way that he or she should go. We were taught to just make sure out of all the things I gave you, I didn't give you a lot of toys, but I did give you the word of God and I gave you the knowledge of God. I taught you how to pray that day that you laid hands on me and prayed for me. It brought tears to my eyes because God had let me know then that what I was doing because of his instruction. I remember how you would just jump around the church. You would call yourself praising God when you had on your little suit and your little shoes, and you'd call yourself tap dancing.
Yeah, I remember.
And you would do those things. And I would tell you how, excuse me, if you wanted something, I would say to you, baby, tell God what you want. And I just want you to tell me and other people, when you told God what you wanted, what happened?
I got it. Mm-hmm. I got
you it. You didn't get nothing used. You got something that you were asking for. I remember how at times we didn't have any money. And I remember how people would just walk up to you and just say, God told me to bless you, and would just put money in your hand. And I would say, God. And we're talking about people that didn't look like they could stand up, let no money go. They looked like they needed the money. They would just walk up to you and just bless you. They would walk up to you and give you shoes. And I mean, we was going through a tough time. But God had set people up that they would just walk up and bless you because God was showing you as a child, I don't just have blessings for your mom, for grown people. I will make people bless you. And I remember that, and I say, God, I wonder, do he remember all of the times that we had to, not we always had to depend on you, but when we had to depend on you and he went out of his way to pray when he didn't even know that he could get a prayer through. When you taught him he could get a prayer through. Because these children of this day, I talked to Apostle Alexis Cecilia about it a lot, and this generation is like they feel that they're entitled to get things. They don't feel that they have to work for things. But I always taught you that. I said, you won't get what the other kids get the way they get it. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the first time you asked me about buying you an Xbox and buying you a bicycle and all of that? And what did I tell you to do?
Yeah, pray for it.
And when you did that, what happened?
I got it.
Because God touched other people's hearts to ask you what you wanted, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you did that, you told them, well, three or four people asked you what you wanted. And what you did, you told each person one thing, a different thing. And they was like, what else you want? You said just that. And because I had raised you not to be greedy, and not to just holler out everything you want, you was able to get what you want because God had touched people's heart concerning you. And I always told you that at a certain age, a child would be responsible for what they did. You remember when I told you at a certain age, I said, baby, you're 12 years old now. So in the Word of God, it teaches us about 12 years old, of the age accountability. So in case you didn't know or nobody else know, I looked it up in the Bible, and in Luke 2 and 42nd verse, it talks about, well, 42nd, 41 verse of the second chapter, Luke, all the way to the 52nd verse, it talks about Jesus when he was with his parents, and they was in Jerusalem, and they went every year to the feast of the Passover. And the mother and the father had thought that Jesus was with some family members, but he wasn't. And I think 3-4 days went by, and he wasn't back at the family house, and they had to go back and find him. And when they found him, he was 12 years old, and he was in the synagogue sitting down with the word say with the doctors and other people, and he was teaching them and asking them questions about about God, about God's word, about the way of the Lord. He was, and that's what he was doing, and that was at the age of 12. So if Jesus was being responsible at the age of 12, do you think that it's more than fair for you to be responsible? Hmm? Yeah. It's more than fair for you to be responsible. You know, so I don't know. How do you feel about that, knowing that at the age of 12 that you are responsible for your actions?
I think it's very important. Like I said, especially with my generation. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it's a lot of people who feel like they're entitled, you know. It's a lot of people who think that, you know, their parents or, like, people who took care of them, or if they took care of somebody else, they feel like they are owed, or they feel like they deserve this and that, where in reality, you know, nobody owes you nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to work for what you want. You have to, you know, put effort. You have to put in the time and everything for what you really want, whether it's simple or big, because, you know, people don't just hand out things, you know. Even if they have the money and the time and the resources, we don't live in a world where people just hand out stuff because, you know, they may bless you and things like that, but, you know, that's not it doesn't happen so much to where people can make it through life like that, you know. And so I feel like people should teach their kids from an early age, you know, what accountability is, what responsibility is, what, you know, how to be resourceful, how to just ask questions, how to speak, you know, the basic skills on how to just, you know, learn, really. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if you don't, you know, you're like, you know, almost 25 and you're still scared to speak in public and things like that. You don't know how to, like, look up information and things like that. So, you know, it's that scripture that says, Exodus 20:12, I think it says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy give. And
yeah,
so
that was the first scripture I taught you,
mm-hmm.
that the word of God teaches you to honor. Like you were saying about in your generation, they feel that they are, and they're entitled, they're mm-hmm. supposed to have. They don't have to do nothing but live. They don't have to work. The word of God said a man don't work, don't eat. They feel that they don't have to do nothing but wake up, and all they need to be met. Everything will be there. But I taught you as a little boy, you're not good. I remember you was, I know you always get a little upset when I say this, but you was about 3 or 4. And I don't remember exactly what it was you asked me, and I told you no. And you was so upset. You said, but I want it. I said, I said no. You said, that's why you're not my friend. You remember? Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
You was a little boy, and I said, your friend. I said, you're right. I'm not your friend. I'm your mama. I would never be your friend. Now, I can be friendly to you, but I would never be a friend with you. I said, we would never hang out. We would never be drinking buddies. We would never be dancing. We would never hang out. I said, so from this day forth, don't you ever, ever, ever talk to me like that or treat me like that or think you could be with about life going about that like that, I say, remember from this day, I'm your mother. My job is to be your mother and to teach you how you're going to honor me, respect me, and treat me. And the first thing you said, you stumping off, you say, yes, ma'am. I taught you to pull out women's cheers. I taught you to open the door for women. And I thank God to this day you still open doors for women. You still help them pull out a cheer for them to get up, pull out a cheer for them to sit down. I thank you for being a gentleman. I thank you for not letting the world of people change you. Every day you come and kiss me on my forehead. You say, Ma, how was your day? Ma, how do you feel? Ma, how you doing? Mom, I love you. I thank God that you're still doing that because, see, right now you're single. And my prayer now is to say, Father God, I'm asking you that when you do get to the point you want to get a wife, I'm asking you to write the vision and make it plain. Don't just ask God for a woman because you will get just a woman. Tell God the type of woman you want. I'm asking you to ask God to let you find a woman that loves him more than she loves you. Because if she loves God more than she loves you, she's going to love you even the more. But I want her to allow you to even love your mom and your dad, your auntie. Because you have an auntie that you know goes out her way. She did from a little boy to now. She goes out of her way for you because she sees you as her son. And what I mean by that, she don't want nothing but the best for you. And when I taught you the word of God says, Exodus 20 and 12, to honor thy mother, I'm sorry, thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth that the Lord has given thee, it's because that's what my mom taught us as a kid. She taught us to honor thy mother and thy father. She taught us to honor God. She taught us how to keep our feet in the house of the Lord. She taught us how not to move around and be talking and playing and doing stuff when the word was going forth or when they was praying or when deliverance and healing was moving in the house. She taught us that. I taught you that in church. You know, and I was I was talking to God, and I said, God, I remember reading in the Bible about Moses and Aaron. You know who that is, right? Mm-hmm. And Aaron has four sons, but two of his sons died in Abilaho. I can't say their names. I can't say those names. But he had two sons that decided they were going to go and offer incense. Offering incense up to God. And Moses and Aaron's job was to teach the people what a proper offering was to God. And when these two went and just called themselves going to try to give God anything, a fire came up and devoured them. I taught you how you can talk to God and ask him anything, but you can't treat God any kind of way. You can't treat Jesus any kind of way. You can't treat the Holy Ghost any kind of way. I taught you that if the children don't know how to talk to God, just say, God, help me with my unbelief. God, help me here. Help me with this because I don't understand. I don't believe you'll do it for me. You know, I love the fact that I know you know God. You have never been a talkative kid. You've always been more like a laid-back child. I don't want to say shy because you're not shy. You just never been a talkative kid. I thank you that you allow God to be God in your life because when I had you and I was able to hold you, after I said, oh, my God, how much I love you to you, I gave you right back to God. I said, God, this is your seed. This is your son. this is your blessing. God, I give him back to you. I did like the woman in the Bible did when she had her son. She asked God for wisdom. I asked God for wisdom for you. I asked God to protect you all the days of your life because you were born the day I turned 7 months, and you was coming out foot first. So I had to have an emergency C-section. You was born, like I said, 7 months, which was this time December, and you was born a year, 2 months and a year before your time. So you were a child before, how they could say, before your time. So I thank you that you haven't changed towards God. I thank you that you still love the Lord because we're going to read another scripture. I'm going to find it real quick. And I think this is it. Let me look at it. I want to make sure it's the right one. Here it goes, right here. You want to read this for me?
Which one?
1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11.
Says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things.
Mm-hmm. But I thank God that when you became a man, you still knew and you still know that you need God more today than any day.
Mm-hmm.
You know that before you leave the house, what do I tell you?
Right.
While you out of the house, what do I tell you?
Right.
When you on your way back to the house, what do I tell you?
Right.
When you enter the house, what do I tell you?
Right.
When you in the house by yourself all through the day, what do I tell you?
Pray still.
Pray still. Because the word of God says we are to always pray and not faint.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to always be prayerful. You can never take for granted that God has you because the word of God says that we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. We, you know, I don't know, is there a favorite scripture you have?
Favorite scripture would be honor thy mother and thy father, because I feel like it's one of those scriptures where you could dive into it so much, you know, like it relates to almost everything, because we've been talking about, you teach your child things that at an early age they won't depart from it when they're older, you know. And then by doing so, you know, you get so many benefits. You get closer with God. You get closer with your parents. You know, you get more time on earth with them. You know, they get more time on earth with you. You learn to become honest. You learn how to love. You learn how to do so many things that seem small, but later in life become, you know, big. Like I said, you teach me how to talk in public was really good. You teach me how to pray in public, whether I was by myself or not, was good because, you know, we live in a time and place where everybody feels like they can't do what they want in public, whether it's, you know, be themselves or just dance or this and that. But, you know, like I said, I pray around my friends,
mm-hmm.
You know. I don't really care if they laugh or not. It's just a matter of, like, anything could happen.
Right.
And so just to make sure, and then also just to show God that I'm still grateful regardless. It's just to pray, you know, give him time.
Yeah.
And so by doing so, like the honoring that mother and our father, it comes with so much, you know, whether it's, mm-hmm. Like I said, it comes with so much, whether it's you personally, your family, your friend, you know, just it embodies a lot for me. So that's why it's probably my favorite.
I remember growing up as a child, we were taught if something's going on and you can't go into a long prayer, we would just say the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. I remember today, it's like today, it looked like it was taking you so long to answer my question. And tiny. Renee, we were young, and a lot of times we forget or we don't think about it until the last minute. She said, don't forget to remind. And I said, you're right, because I'm not trying to put you in a place where I'm at that you're not. And that's just like in the body of Christ. You may be on a level that someone else isn't, because the Word of God speaks about some drinking milk and some eating meat.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's like a baby saint and a grown saint, the one that the dope should know better, you know. And I just thank God for a chance to see my labor not in vain. I thank God to even hear you say you pray in front of your friends. Because God says, you be ashamed of me before man, he'll be ashamed of you before his Father. And I thank God that you even knew that scripture enough to say it with me, because one thing I do know is that, Stanley, God loves you. That no matter what happened to us when we were homeless, no matter what we went through, it was so funny to me one time when I told you we was poor, you said we is.
Mm-hmm.
I have to laugh because we were poor, but you didn't even know it. Because God had blessed us so. God had blessed us that you had decent clothes. You had good shoes. You was able to get the little things that boys needed, haircuts, and you was able to go on school trips. You was able to have lunch and breakfast at school. You were able to do things because God provided for us. God provided for you. When you said, honor thy mother, thy father, don't forget God is our Father also. So the first thing is you honoring him. Even if in the natural your dad isn't around, God was there. God was your first Father. And I thank God for that. I thank God for even, I looked at this, I'm trying to find it right now. And I wanted this so bad I had to look it up. It said Acts 2 and 16 says the same thing as Joel 2 and 28. It said, but this is which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, said God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. I'm saying all that to say that if you keep God first, if you trust God, you depend on God, you talk to God, you make your desires plain. Don't say something like what you want. When you make it plain, God hears your prayer. Don't just say to God, Lord, can I have this? Lord, can you do that? Say to God some morning, hey, Lord, I just come by to say hi. Hey, Lord, I just stop by to say good night. I'm going to bed, God. Cover me in my sleep. God, I love you, and I give you all the honor and the praise. Stop by sometime and just say, God, I just stop by to say hi. Because one thing I do know, the Word of God teaches us, if a father in the natural know what good things to give his child, what less will God give up? If nobody in this world or nothing in this world have proved to you that they love you unconditionally with no strings attached, if they haven't did it, God have did it. When I got sick each time, and you went to God and you prayed, God, don't let me lose my mom. When they gave up on me, the doctors gave up on me and said, take her home, let her die. And you begin to pray and you begin to talk to God. Don't think God don't remember those things. It's okay to be young. It's okay to enjoy life. It's okay to know, you know, that you want to go out, you want to enjoy yourself or whatever you do, like you say, in front of your friends. You let people see that you love God. You respect God. You honor God. You don't care what they say. You know, and I'm saying all that to say, when you get a chance to talk about the Lord, because I'm going to tell you something, people say what they want, but when they get in a situation and they'll call you, they may be scared to say it. What you need to say to them is, you know what, let's stop talking about all that. How about this? How about we pray? And watch what happens. They're going to say, yeah, man, can we pray? Would you pray for me? And you pray. If you want to be deep, you be deep. If not, a lot of times you don't ask questions. You just pray. See, that's something that the youth is missing, is how to acknowledge God. I taught you that you don't go in the house of the Lord dressed any kind of way. You pull your pants up. You show the house of the Lord respect, like Jesus did when he turned over the tables, when they was collecting taxes and selling doves and anything and everything else. And that he said, this is a house of prayer. If you ever start dating someone and you take them to church with you, don't let her go in there with her breasts, her cleavage hanging out, her skirt so short the pastor can't preach the word because she's showing her scriptures. You know what I mean by that, right?
Mm-hmm.
You teach your wife to be, or even someone you're dating, you going into the house of the Lord, you will honor the house of the Lord. You will honor the elders in the house of the Lord. And before you join a church, you ask God, is this where he wants you to be? You know, you talk to God. Keep your relationship with the Lord. Don't let nothing or nobody change you. Because if nobody else has it, you have proof that God is real. You have proof that God is able. If nobody else in the world has it, you have it. Because one thing you do know, you live to see God work miracle after miracle after miracle. And I just want to give you another chance to just tell people about, you know, how you know God has been a blessing to your family. You know, you can tell people about when you was in high school and you was playing football and what the coach said to you, and now you told him that wasn't your A plan, that football was your B plan. You prayed about, tell people about that.
Well, I ain't going to talk about that because the main thing that's on my mind, I want to talk about the reason why I know he's real. Mm-hmm. The fact that I wasn't even supposed to make it this far, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, growing up in Chicago, being around what we was around, and, you know, not having as much as we could have and things like that. You know, statistically speaking, we weren't supposed to make it, you know, you or me,
mm-hmm.
You know, or my pop, yeah. And so when I think about it, you know, like, there's no way we couldn't have made it without, you know, without God, you know. Like, I could talk about the other stuff, but I feel like that's the number one thing, is, like, the fact that I'm 23, when so many people that I grew up with, you know, didn't even get a chance to make it to 18, or they did, they didn't get a chance to make it to 19 or 20, you know, and stuff like that. And it's like, I could have easily been one of them, you know. There were so many situations that, you know, I was in that could have been bad, or that I, you know, was blessed to avoid. You know, I'm glad I met the people I met. I'm glad I was born into the family I was born into. You know, I'm grateful for every little thing. Cause, like I said, we weren't supposed to make it this far, but we made it further than.
Prayers, love, and righteousness have made it much.
Mm-hmm. So, like I said, when I think about how far we came, I always say, we didn't do this alone. You know, like, yeah, you know, we ask people this and that, but ultimately speaking, you know, there's one person that was always with us, whether we knew it or not. And so I'm always grateful. I'm always appreciative. You know, I thank God for God. You know, I always say thank you for, I always say thank you to him for being him, you know, because he could easily be, you know, wrathful. He could be easily be merciless and stuff like that. But he choose to be, you know, loving, caring, second chance, you know, second chance giving person. Mm-hmm. You know, stuff like that. And so, you know, I just want to be thankful for as long as possible while I'm on this earth. And then even afterwards, I'm going to still be eternally grateful, you know. So, like I said, just growing up, all the places we live, the situations we've been in, whether it was physical, mental, emotionally, or financially, you know. And it's just, ain't no way we were supposed to make it this far, you know. But luckily, we have a relationship with God, you know.
Thank God for that.
Mm-hmm.
I thank God for that. And even if you don't want to tell it, I'm going to tell it. We was at MacArthur's one evening, and we were sitting out eating, and Austin voice, I don't know why this paper kept jumping off the counter. The words on the page just kept jumping off the counter. So I went on and picked the paper up. It's a little neighborhood paper on the west side called The Austin Voice. And I opened this paper and I saw this ad that says new charter school opening. And they was doing fourth and fifth grade. And it was called Catalyst. And I said, oh, I'm going to call these people tomorrow. But the paper I continued to read, because as God had told me in my spirit, he said, continue to read. Don't close the paper. I read it. It was like 8:45 that night. It says that night was the last night, and the call that they were receiving for enrollment was going to end at 9 p.m. And I said, oh, my God. I didn't have it. At that time, we bought minutes for our phone. And I didn't have a whole lot of time on my phone, and I didn't have a lot of battery power. But I went on and called the number, and I only had a couple of minutes. And the young lady that answered the phone name was Miss Moore. And she answered the phone, and she said, oh, I'll call. She was trying to put the receipt, the recording on or something. But I was calling at that time, and she answered the phone. And I told her, I said, oh, thank you for answering. I was trying to get through, and I'm trying to enroll my son. And she said, oh, I'm sorry. We don't have any more spots. And she could just hear the disappointment in my voice. And I said, are you sure? She said, yes, ma'am, I'm sure. She said, we don't have any more spots. And I said, so, okay, well, thank you so much. And one thing led to another. And she said, you know what? Just show up. The next Monday, show up. She said, be there at 7 a.m. Now, mind you, we was living in Dalton, weren't we?
Mm-hmm.
She said, be there at 7 a.m. It was for fourth grade. She meant to say 9 a.m., but I got there at 7 a.m., and where the school was located was on 16th and Christiana. How many of y'all could say 16th and Christiana? So we got there at 6 something in the morning, and we were sitting outside. We were so sleepy. Now, we lived in Dalton. We was way out on 155th Street. And to get back to the west side of Chicago, so how many of you all could say leaving the house at 4:30 a.m.?
Yeah.
And I was working, too. And we got there, and when we got there, we saw the little lady go inside, but we didn't know. And she saw us. We were sitting right in front of the school. Anyway, what so happened, when it was time to come in, we went in. Now, we had been sitting out there since 6-something, and we went in at 9 a.m. We went on in the school. Just so happened somebody didn't show up. They was trying to wait for the young lady, but she never showed up. So I ended up getting that spot. Long story short, he ended up in the classroom by the sixth grade. Was that sixth? You met Ms. Rudd.
Yeah.
By sixth grade, he had a teacher, and this teacher, She just loved him. She loved him so. Her name, Rhonda Greer. She loved him so. She said she was just something about him. She didn't know what it was. She entered him into this program where you got a private school education in the Chicago public school. How many of y'all could say, ain't that God? Won't he do it? So he ended up getting a private school education for free in the Chicago public school. And then she entered him into this program that's called, what was it called, First Generation?
First
Generation. And he went to this program every summer, every spring break, every summer. And it was something to do where he got, like, camp. He got to go away for free. Ain't that God? Ain't that God? Which before time he was going to spend time wherever my sister was at in the military, Apostle Elect, Senior Kaiser, he would spend time with her. But when he got into school like that, he was able to go to these college programs and then go spend time with her afterwards. So he had been going to school since he was 18 months old. Ain't that God? Full time. So by this time, she put him in this program that was called First Generation, where they encouraged the students to go to college. And he was going to this program every the first year he went, I had to go up there to the school with him so I could see what was going on, and they get to meet me and see who I was. And then we go back when the program was over. How many years did you go to that program?
Four.
4 years. That was all through grammar school. Now, then he went through high school also, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so it started eighth grade and ended, mm-hmm. yeah.
In high school.
Yeah, high school.
So anyway, I remember that I had always taught him, he said, Mama, I'm going to get this athletic scholarship. I said, baby, don't concentrate on athletics, because he was very good at football. I said, don't concentrate on athletics, because if you ever get hurt, they're going to shoot you over drugs. They don't care about your body. They're going to make you going to have to play ball to keep the scholarship. I said, but put your mind on your book. I said, get an academic scholarship, because if you break your legs, slip down, whatever, they could never take your knowledge away from you. But if you lose your skill to play sports, you lose your scholarship. So I thank God. I prayed about it. He prayed about it. God blessed him that he decided. I don't know. This kid could look at a word and he just know. He remember whatever it is. So he ended up getting chose from this program. I would never forget. We was after all of the summers going. We was at the program and they said one kid was going to get a free ride. Well, two kids. It was going to be a male and a female. So we were sitting at the table having dinner. And it was this lady, Caucasian lady, she was talking about how her daughter was a shoe-in and she was going to get the scholarship. And I was like, okay, I was just hoping my son would get something. So when they said who was going to get the free ride, they called my son name. And how many of you all know I was just a mother. I jumped up and acted like Anthony Anderson. Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And my son was over there so embarrassed. You know, I'm in one of those mothers that embarrass their children, but that's another story. But anyway, he got the scholarship, and the lady looked over at me, and she said, what he get because of his way he's built. She said, what, he plays football? And she said, wait, they don't have football here. I said, no, I was so proud that I became a very educated mother then. I said, oh, no, it's not athletic. It's academics. He has an academic scholarship. So what they did was, after he got the scholarship, the school, I can't think of the lady's name, she wanted to get with me to ask me what did they need, because he was getting all these letters in saying what he was accepted. She said, what did she have to do to guarantee he was going to go to their school? And I said, well, I don't have the money to take him, to bring him to the school. I don't have money to send him for him to come home from the school. I don't have money for the room and board, the food or whatever. She said, is that it? I said, is that it? I said, that's a lot, because when I asked her how much was the tuition for St. Mary, Minnesota University, and she told me how much the tuition was, I was like Ralph Kramer, I'm gonna. That's how I was acting. But he ended up getting a free ride as well as an allowance to go to school. How many of you all could say, won't he do it? God is able.
Mm-hmm.
And then he graduated. And I just thank God for all that he has done for my son and myself and for my husband. I thank God for all that he has done. I thank God for when he was away, God blessed us to become homeowners again. Like I said, after everything we had to go through, with me being ill, with us being coming homeless, because when I got ill, I lost everything. I thank God because I would talk to my son. I would just tell him every day. If I didn't talk to him, I'd text him. Don't forget to pray. Don't forget to give God thanks. Don't forget to honor God. And I'm saying that to say this. The reason I did that is because no matter what you do, God is first.
Mm-hmm.
God is only. So we're going to be closing the program. But before we do, we would like to ask Apostle Elector, she will open the lines for everybody and anybody that would like to make a comment on tonight. And just encourage this young man to stay with God, to follow God, and to never forget God. Apostle, is the lines open?
The lines are open.
Okay, at this time, we would like to say, please say something to the Minister Stanley Wright.
God bless you, Minister Stanley. I thank God for you being our youth minister on tonight and for you allowing God to speak through you and to, to speak your mind because, as you know, a lot of times youth will say what they think other people want them to hear, whether it's peer pressure, parent pressure, auntie pressure, church pressure, or whatever, and so I thank you for being a young man, not only of integrity, but a young man that loves God and doesn't mind speaking that which he loves, and that you even reminded us that even when you're with your friends and associates, it's about what has been put in you, and it's the word of God, it's prayer, and so much more. So thank you for your prayers for your parents. Thank you for your prayers for yourself. Thank you for your prayers for your friends and associates. And just thank you for your prayers for, with the youth trafficking and all of the various things that's going on right now, the harvesting of youth organs and just so much. The one thing that we definitely need is, yes, we need the Mothers of Zion praying. We need the the older men praying and teaching the younger men, but we are so honored to have you as a young man in his early 20s that is not afraid to pray and not afraid to tell people just how good God is and has been. So thank you so much for your love for God, because that time of accountability it's really something that many of us, as you were saying even earlier, Minister Stanley, that we forget about. So thank you for teaching us about accountability and how you're willing to be accountable to God for yourself. I love you, man of God.
Love you, too.
Thank you so much for your words, Apostle Alexis Sayer. Is there anyone else that would like to say something to Minister Stanley Wright?
I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, God, for blessing us with Stanley. I'm not used to calling him Stanley. I'm used to calling him Grandma's Cricket. But Lord, I thank you, and I thank you for blessing us with him. And I thank the Lord for putting in his heart and mind to keep you, God, our Father, the Son, Christ Jesus, in his life, in his heart, in his mind, and to let all peoples know around him it's no harm. And praying to God is only help, no matter what we're going through. But I thank him for a young man and to all that he is encouraging to put God first, because he can bless you when nowhere or no one else can. I want to say thank you, and congratulations. And I thank God for blessing you and to our family.
Amen. Minister Sheila, thank you so much for that. You just blessed us with your blessing. So is there anyone else that would like to say something to Minister Stanley Wright, Jr.? Okay, well, if we don't have any other comments, we would like to say again, thank you, Minister Stanley, for blessing us on the night, taking time out to just share with us the love you have for God, just share with us to let us know that you haven't forgot. You still love the Lord. You still acknowledge God. I thank God for that, because a lot of times when young men are at the age you are at, they don't have time for God, not unless they need him. So we want to say, first we want to give you our foundational scripture, which I'm going to tell Minister Stanley to apply this to his life as we do in our ministry, Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Minister Stanley, did you want to pray us out on tonight?
Yes, I will.
Thank you so much.
God, I would like to thank you for today for allowing me to speak to those who are hearing, myself and the other speakers today. I want to thank you for letting us make it to the end of this year. The year is obviously not over, but still thank you for letting us make it this far. I pray that you allow us to continue to live our best lives into the coming year. I'll also ask you to fix any problems or any obstacles or any negativity that's in anybody's lives, and, you know, in our loved ones, our own personal lives, or the people we know, even the ones we don't know. I ask that you show them the light. I ask you to show them that, you know, there's hope at the end of, you know, every situation that they're in. I ask that you open their hearts to other people. Allow them to be good people. Allow them to be loving and to be loved. I ask that you bless everyone financially speaking, you know, also emotionally, physically, and mentally. I ask that you continue to bless this program. You know, I ask that you increase the listeners that's, you know, listening on this. So I would like to see this program, you know, expand as much as possible, you know. I believe that this program can do a lot of good. It has done a lot of good, obviously, but I think, you know, it can help a lot of more people. I also just want to say thank you for just being you. Thank you for making us who we are. Thank you for all the obstacles that, you know, we've faced this year and come out on the end of, because without those obstacles and without you, we wouldn't be who we are. And I just continue to ask you to bless us for as long as possible, Lord, while we're on this earth, and even after we're gone, just continue to love us, show us mercy, give us guidance, bless our generation, you know, our kids, and so on and so forth. So I just want to say thank you for everything, and bless everyone that's listening and the ones that are not listening, Lord. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God, we thank you for this Monday. This is the last Monday of the year. God, we thank you so much for being God and for us, with us, through us, and in us for 2019. God, bless America. Bless every member that's in the body of Christ. Bless America, God, for we know that what the enemy meant for evil, God, you're going to use it for your good. This is going to be the year for the saints, the real saints of the Lord. God, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. In Jesus' name it is so. Amen.
And our foundational scripture is Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Bye-bye.